The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Kevin Myers, the journalist and historian with me now. Kevin, you're very, very welcome. We were on this show and on many others over the last couple of weeks reflecting on 1 year of conflict in Gaza after the October 7th attacks by Hamas last year. How do you reflect on the last 12 months?
It has been an unspeakable tragedy. A tragedy that was intended from the outset. Sinha, the leader of Hamas, planned this. He understands the Israeli mentality very clearly. He was in an Israeli jail for over 20 years. He speaks and reads Hebrew fluently. And this has given him access to the vulnerabilities of the Israeli people and the Jewish people of Israel and the Jewish people of the world. And everything that has resulted since that those terrible hours on October the 7th last year, to one degree or other, has been planned by him. He expected the Israeli response to the massacre of 1,200 people, the rape of women, the abduction of hundreds of young revelers at the rave. He expected it to be savage. It wasn't as savage as he perhaps was hoping for. It's been terrible to watch, unspeakable to watch for anyone who supports Israel, as I do. It's been painful because I know that Israeli soldiers and Israeli airmen are killing Palestinians who have nothing to do with the attacks, killing children who had nothing to do with the attacks and could not possibly have done anything to do with the attacks. But this is what Sinha intended. No state in the world would have tolerated the attack that occurred on October the 7th. No state in the world would have done. People have compared it to 9/11. It's much bigger than 9/11 in terms of relative populations. If America on 9/11 had lost 36,000 people, that would explain how the Israelis feel about this. And no one was raped on 9/11, and no one was abducted. And Sinha knows all about abduction. He knows all about hostage taking because he was imprisoned for killing two Israeli soldiers and three alleged Palestinian informers. He strangled two of them and he buried a third alive. And he was freed after an Israeli soldier was captured. 1,000 Palestinian prisoners were released in exchange for that single soldier. And he knows how desperately the Israelis feel about hostages. So he has used the hostages as bargaining chips, and he has surrounded them almost certainly. He has used them as a protective barrier. I misspoke there when I said he surrounded them. There's no question that Hamas fighters are being protected by Israeli hostages. So if they go after Hamas fighters, they'll kill Israeli hostages. Quite clearly, the defense ministry and everyone involved in the defense and the protection of Israel on that day, those terrible few days, was off guard. But that's a different issue. This was intended by Sinha. He's a very, very clever man. When he was in jail, he had a brain tumor. He was diagnosed by his dentist, and a Jewish dentist, and Israeli surgeons operated on his brain tumor and saved his life. This is the man who organized October the 7th.
There's an argument as well that it was intended as much by the Israelis as by him, by some of the Israelis. I said that argument exists.
It's not an argument that I've heard before, and I would need to hear it represented before I would answer it. It's a hypothetical argument.
The argument was that such was the cataclysmic failure of Israeli intelligence that it couldn't be explained but by intention on October 7th, in the lead up to October 7th.
Israelis are not obsessed with the death wish. They didn't know, nobody knew how successful this operation would be. It might have been even more successful. I mean, it's successful in two different ways. It revealed to the world the dedication of the Hamas fighters. Over 1,000 of them were killed. They knew that they would probably die on this operation. So this is a suicide cult. You know, in Hamas has had 20 years in uncontrolled, undiluted power over the people of Gaza. Gaza is nothing. It's from Dunleary to Wicklow Town. That's the length of Gaza. And it's about 8 miles deep. They've had complete control over communications, over food and drink, over what children read and write. And he has brainwashed, he and his supporters have brainwashed the young women and men of Gaza, so to the point where 1,000 of them could go to their almost certain death a year ago. For no other purpose than hatred.
Do you think, when you say Hamas intended this, did they intend to be where they are today, or did they intend, or was it their hope or expectation that the scale of the Israeli response would elicit a kind of a more widespread reaction then? Did they imagine that you'd have the, I don't know, we could talk if you want about kind of Hezbollah and Iran and everything you know, on that issue, but did they think everybody else that would be, that they would be directly involved by now? Or did they imagine the situation would be what it is today?
I think they, Shimon's a very intelligent man. He largely understood the scope of the problem and the scope of the consequences. When I hear this talk about the genocide of the people of Gaza, that is completely untrue. No military operation in the history of war has compared with the complexity of this. When the Germans put down the Warsaw Rising by the rising of the Warsaw Ghetto, 17 German soldiers were killed by the Rising. Nearly 400 Israeli soldiers have been killed in action in Gaza alone. 4 were killed in Lebanon.
Yeah.
Yesterday, but that's a different thing. In Gaza alone, this has been a meticulous operation. Now, because it's difficult to believe, but it has been meticulous. Israel cannot leave Hamas standing. Now, you and I know, and every Irish person listening knows, that the death of every single Hamas fighter will mean more recruits from largely his brothers and sisters, his uncles, his aunts, his cousins, the various clans allied to that young man will in due course provide volunteers for the next generation of the struggle. So there's every reason to be deeply depressed.
But is that why he intended it? So if he intended the situation to be as it is today, you'd have to look at Gaza and think, why? Why did he want this?
But he's a nihilist. He wants the extermination of Israel.
But you also described him as very intelligent. So he must have an end. He must have some vision of an end game that this gets him closer to.
No, it doesn't get him closer to anything. He's obsessed with his own self-sacrifice, as all suicide bombers are. I mean, you have to give these people credit for what they actually are. Immensely intelligent and immensely dedicated. He believes that sooner or later he will be a martyr to Allah and for Allah. And he is in pursuit of the Holy Grail of the destruction of Israel and the Israeli people. It's not just.
But how does he think that this gets him closer to the destruction of Israel?
Because the most obvious thing in the world is what we've seen: the alienation against Israel, the mass demonstrations against Israel all over the world. On October the 7th, on October the 8th, a Saturday and Sunday, there were no demonstrations in Dublin against the mass murder of Jews at a minor Einsatzkommando operation. Einsatzkommandos were the Nazis mass murdering civilians, Jews, in the Eastern Front in 1941 and 42. This was a replica of that. There wasn't a single demonstration about that. Not one in Dublin. But on Monday night, there were near riots outside the Israeli embassy as people were protesting about Israel's response to the attack.
Yeah, but there's also, they still have, like, it's still a reality, though, that, you know, the US sent 2 carrier groups. I struggle to imagine a greater display of force in recent memory than that, in the wake of October 7th to the Mediterranean. The US. So this idea that it's brought us one step closer maybe to the destruction of Israel because of Irish people protesting at Shannon.
No, I'm not talking about, it wasn't even a word that Irish people were protesting
at Shannon. They were at the weekend.
Yeah. The issue is not what you and I believe, it's what he believes.
Okay, sorry.
That's the issue. He believes that this is a holy war, a justified war, and he will fight it by any means necessary. He probably didn't see, and I didn't foresee, the deployment of American carrier groups, but that's a measure of how seriously the Americans take this, because the issue is, for him, for Sinwar, is not just Gaza. His sponsor is Iran. Now, this is the big issue. It's not just about Gaza. It's not about Hezbollah, which is Shia. Iran is Shia. In Gaza, they're Sunni. They Sunni and Shia are in perpetual condition of perpetual war, as we've seen in Iraq. But they bury the hatchet to conduct this joint war against Israel. So Iran is behind the scenes. Iran has armed and trained and funded Hamas, as it's doing Hezbollah. And it's meant to be, from the outset, a sandwich, congealing on or forming, conforming on Israel. And it's meant to shock the Israeli people. It's meant to demoralize them. And it has shocked them. I don't think it's demoralized them. They wouldn't still be here if that was the case. But what I don't understand is this endless justification in the Irish media that somehow or other that Israel doesn't have a right to exist because of the existence of refugees. The refugees came about after the Second World War. 10 million Germans were expelled from Eastern Europe. 7 to 8 million Indians were expelled from their homes at the same time as Israel was formed. No one demands in Pakistan or India or Bangladesh, that Sikhs and Hindus be returned to their homes of 1947 and 48. No one demands that the Germans who lived in Lithuania and Poland and Sudetenland, and even in Russia, who were forcibly expelled in 1947 and 48, back to Germany, which they hadn't seen in five centuries. No one's demanding a right for return for them. So why should the Palestinians, who were in many cases expelled in 1948, uniquely be allowed access to the ancestral homelands?
Well, what's the solution? Is the two-state solution ultimately the solution?
Finished. That just died. That just died.
So what's the
solution? I have no solution. I mean, I'm not here to discuss a solution. I have no idea what the solution is.
How do you imagine then it might...
I'm a pessimist by nature. So what
you just
I
think
imagine
perpetual is, conflict.
Yes, I do anything imaginatively. I can't do anything physically. Imaginatively, I could think of a solution. I would tell you. It might not be a realistic one, but I would tell you. But I'm full of pessimism about this. Iran is working on a bomb. It's not working on a bomb to destroy its religious rival in Saudi Arabia. It's working on a bomb to destroy the great devil itself, the Jewish people of Israel. That is the purpose of the bomb. And it will use the bomb regardless of the consequences for the people of Egypt and the people of Lebanon, for both of which it would have complete contempt. These are nihilistic powers that want control, not just of the Middle East. They want ultimately control of the world. That is the purpose of all Islamists, not people who are Muslims. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
These are zealots.
Yeah.
They want a world that's composed entirely of is the Islamic faith. I am not talking about Muslim people. I'm talking about Islamists.
Islamists, yeah. Kevin, this is an interesting conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.